Hi, I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. Now, today we are talking about college football. We just had our first full week of college football games, 5 straight days of action. And boy, I must say, am I happy that college football is back. It is the happiest time of the year for me. Okay, now, after the first full week, we have some obvious winners and some obvious losers. And I think it's best if we started off with losers. Okay, who did not perform, who did not show up, who they are in for a long season ahead. Number one biggest loser, sorry, hate to say it, Florida State. I was a little surprised of how they looked against Boston College. I was not so shocked about them with how they performed against Georgia Tech. And that's because first game of the season, you are all the way in Ireland. I get it. Things could just not be how it should be for the first game of the season. And then I thought that maybe they could have underestimated just how good Georgia Tech was going to be. So I kind of understood that first loss. That second loss against Boston College, yeah, no. Florida State is going to be in for a long season. Offense doesn't look handled well. The play calls, the motions, everything, it just looks weak. Defense have had some key moments or moments where I'm like, oh, they look like old Florida State. But overall, no. Offense and defense are struggling. I don't know what Norvell is going to do to try to fix this, but he has 9 games left to try to salvage the season. But if you ask me, he is in for an uphill battle that I don't think that this team that's behind him is going to be capable of climbing up and achieving some of the things that he might want to achieve this year. College football playoffs, out of the question for them right now. They're going to have to do some real soul searching. I know that coaching staff is in meetings, scratching their head, trying to understand what they need to do. But I will keep them in my prayers because it is going to be a long season for Florida State. The other team, Clemson. Now, I know, okay, they played against Georgia, one of the best, if not the best roster in college football. So I did not expect them to go in and actually win that game, but I did expect them to be competitive, and they were not competitive in the slightest. Okay. I know Dabo has this thing where he does not believe in going into the transfer portal, and I think that is the least of his worries. Okay. I get it. You don't go into the transfer portal, but can you not recruit in high schools? Most of Georgia's top recruits are coming from high schools. If you're at Clemson, you're competing with South Carolina for the other top recruits in the state. But I don't think he's getting the better recruits as South Carolina right now. And that's a new case for them. You know, they had a dominant run in college football for a while before the transfer portal was even a thing, because they were going out getting top high school talent. He is no longer doing that, and we can see that with the product that he's putting out on the field, that he has put out with on the field for the last 3 years. So, Dabo, I think you need to go back to your roots. Go back to what got you the top recruits in the state. And I need you to understand that things change. The landscape of college football is no longer the same. I honestly think that's why Nick Saban retired when he did. He realized that things are changed. They're not the way things used to be. So, Dabo, are you going to change with the times, or are you going to retire? Are you going to be the next coach to retire? Because if you're not going to change and figure out what's going to make your team better, make the top recruits want to come to your school, you're going to be setting your fans up for disappointment again and again and again. And Clemson is paying you more than enough money for you to change with the times. So those are my 2 biggest losers so far in week 1. Okay. And there have been a lot of other subpar performances, but those were the biggest 2 because I did not mention, but these are honorable mentions as well. Oregon. I don't know what happened between Idaho. That score should have never been that close. Okay. You guys also need to go in and reevaluate before you see yourself out of the top 15. And then if you keep messing around, you might be out of the top 25. Ex Florida State. So I need you guys to get it together as well. Also, another honorable mention for Biggest Losers, Michigan. Michigan also played a subpar team and only got 184 yards out of their quarterback with one touchdown and one INT. So, Michigan, you are inviting Texas into the big house. Are you going to put up or shut up? Right now, my money is on Texas. I hope you guys prove me wrong, but my money is on Texas. Listen, I'm an Oklahoma fan. Don't make me root for Texas. But as of right now, my money is on Texas. Now to some of the biggest winners. Now, I would say Colorado is a winner. I know they only played North Dakota State, even though North Dakota State is a powerhouse in their own division in their league and in their league as well. So I get it, you know, not Power Five. But I love what I saw out of Shador. Shador is a great quarterback. I never really sat down and watched him like how I watched that their first game of the season, but his accuracy is on point. If you give him time, like they said, their biggest thing is going to be offensive line. As the offensive line grows and develops and they continually give him more time, there's no reason why he shouldn't be in the Heisman running. But I say that not to say that I think they're about to go and win 8 or 9 games and be considered in college. I after looking at their schedule, I don't see that. I still think, you know, they are a team with 42 new players. I'm not expecting that from them, but Shador possibly being a first round quarterback, I can see that. He has the talent. He has the accuracy. He has the arm power and talent. I can very well see that. So he's one of my winners, as well as the Colorado Buffaloes. And Travis Hunter, oh man, if the ball is in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. But I do think he is going to have to pick a side, whether he wants to be on offense or defense. This is going to be his last year doing that. He's not going to be able to do that or sustain that in the NFL. I could be wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on that. But as of right now, no, I don't see that happening for him. But my God, is he not an athlete? He is a great athlete, and I cannot wait to continue to see him grow. And I pray that he has a healthy season so that he's not sitting out 3 or 4 games like he did last week, like he did last year, excuse me. But I want to see him play every game because he is great to watch. Also, they have another wide receiver, Horn, if I'm not mistaken. He also had a phenomenal game. He was only 2 yards away from getting 200 yards in that game. So I'm excited to see Colorado. But like I said, I'm not expecting them to win more than 5 games this year. I'd love to be wrong, but I don't see them winning more than 5 games this year. My next winner, I'm going to have to give it to the Big Ten as an entire conference. You go 17-1 as a new look 18-team conference, and you go 7-1. Hey, kudos to those guys, okay? USC got a big win as well. Their defense looked improved as well. So Penn State, their thing is they need more explosive plays. They had 2 plays last game against West Virginia, 1 for 50, 1 for 55 yards. So they're already on the right track. And there's a couple other Big Ten teams that look good as well. But shout out to the Big Ten Conference. And now for my ultimate winner, I'm going to have to go with the U in Miami. And most importantly, Cam Ward, okay? Miami has been looking for that guy as quarterback. They have not found it in the last, I would say since 1990, because they have not had not one quarterback since then to be drafted in the first round or top three rounds, really. So I think he's going to be that guy. He comes from an air raid offense. When I saw his poise in the pocket, how he looked comfortable. It looked like his heart rate was steady the entire time. Did he throw a pick? Yes. But sometimes I think quarterbacks just get a little happy, a little antsy, and that's what he did. But even after that pick, he didn't get down. His body language stayed the same. He was able to come back and throw another two touchdowns. He ended up going for, if I'm not mistaken, over 360 yards, three touchdowns, one interception with a QBR of 95-96 range, which ended him being top five. Now he has top five QBR after the first week, which I know we have a long way to go. But with that win and it being so dominant, now Miami is the front runners to win the ACC. If you win one of the Power Four conferences, then you're a top four seed going into the playoffs and you have a bye. And right now, I know it is super, 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 super early. I get that. But right now, they are in the driver's seat. Their defense look good. Offense look good. They have a returning first-team ACC receiver in Xavier. His last name is escaping me right now. Excuse me. His last name is escaping me right now. But, man, did he look good. He had a couple of catches on him that I thought was just highlight reels. But Miami looked good. And that's also to go to Florida, who probably also should have been on my list of biggest losers because I don't know what is going on in Florida, but I know this is Billy Napier's last year. If he does not finish off the season, I would not be surprised. That's just how disappointing Florida looked. But hey, like I said, it is early in the season. Things can change. This is college football. Anybody can be beaten any given week, okay? So we're just getting started. I'm just happy that it is back. And I'm going to be locked in every Friday, Saturday, or whenever they decide to have games, okay? Because, you know, sometimes they throw in the Thursday game. Sometimes they might throw in a Monday game. But for the most part, Saturdays. I'm going to be locked in. And I'm going to be locked in from the 12 o'clock start next week with Texas going to Michigan. And I think Texas is going to win, and we'll see if I'm wrong next week. Now, enough about college football. Now let's go into the NFL and what we have coming up. I'm going to give some of my predictions. I'm probably going to be wrong by the time you see these episodes. I could be wrong. We're going to see. But we are kicking off the NFL season Thursday night with the Ravens and the Chiefs. I'm going to give the edge to the Ravens. I think that Ravens are going to win. I'm excited to see Lamar Jackson, reigning MVP, back. I'm excited for Patrick Mahomes. Oh my God. I'm excited to see him, and he's going to have some even more weapons. He's going to have Rashawn Rice back. Then they went out and got Xavier Worthy, the speedster, the fastest wide receiver in the draft, with good hands to match his speed. So I'm going to be excited for that. I'm going to be excited to see that matchup, because then on the other side, you're going to have Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson. Who's not ready to see that? We're all ready to see that. But I want the Ravens to win, and I'm going to go with the Ravens. But like I said, when we come back next week, guys, you're going to be probably going to be looking at me like, you're wrong, the Chiefs won. But I don't care. I'm going with the Ravens, okay? Then, that next day when we come back in Brazil, we're going to have the Eagles and the Packers, okay? I am excited to see Jordan Love and all the weapons that he have, all the no-name weapons that people didn't know about last year, and they kind of came onto the scene and surprised a lot of people. It's not going to be that much of a surprise this year, but I'm excited to see what they do. And then on the other hand, we got the Eagles. Okay. Eagles pretty much still look the same with AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Smitty, but they got Saquon Barkley, a division rival they got him to come join the Eagles, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. This is going to be the best offensive line that he has played under in his, 6 years in the NFL? So it's going to be really exciting to see what he does and how he moves with this offensive line. And then they went out and they traded for Dotson, also from another division rival. I'm not expecting him to have crazy numbers, but I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver 3. So I'm excited to see that offense, especially with the new offensive coordinator. And Nick Sirianni is going to give up a little bit of control that he had last year with the offense, and he's just going to let Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts pretty much run the offense. So I'm going to be excited to see how that happens. And then, you know, the Eagles also, Jason Kelce is no longer the center, so they have a new center, which really he's just moving over because he was on the line last year. And I'm pretty sure that he was moving from right guard to center, which he played center before, so I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for him. But it's going to be exciting to see their offense. I'm also excited to see their defense. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. And as well as they got Quinnen Mitchell, the rookie, highly touted rookie. And I've been hearing nothing but great things from him from other teammates. So it's going to be very exciting to see how that plays out and how that goes. So I think that's going to be a high scoring game out there in Brazil. I think they're going to give the Brazilian fans exactly what they want, which is a lot of action. And then, you know, we got all the games on Saturday. As a Carolina Panthers fan, I am rooting for us to go out and beat the Saints. If we win 5 games this season, I'm going to be excited. But I think with the head coach that we have, who is going to design the offense to cater to Bryce Young, I think Bryce Young is going to finally be able to show people why he was the number one overall pick. So I'm going to be excited to see that, as well as a whole bunch of other games. It's just going to be so exciting that the NFL is back. And I hope you guys enjoy it just as much as I enjoy it. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see if my predictions all right. Like I said, I think the Ravens are going to win, as well as I am going to give it to the Eagles to win that game as well. So we shall see. And you guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong in the comments underneath. And finally, we're going to move away from football and let's talk about the WNBA. We're getting into crunch time, okay? And let's just say there is no competition when it comes to who is going to be the WNBA's MVP. That is Aja Wilson's title alone and hers alone. She is 91 points away from being the first WNBA player to score 1,000 points in a season, which means for the next 7 or 9 games, give or take, I can't remember, where she's going to have to average 13 points or more. She's going to do that, okay? She has been nothing but dominant all season long. She has been efficient, okay? So there's no need for who's up there with her. Nope, that's hers alone. Do I think she's going to be able to will her team to a third WNBA title in a row? Absolutely not. I think the Liberty are going to take it this year. Okay, I think the Liberty or the Lynx could take it, but I'm going to edge out with the Liberty more, okay, because Sabrina has finally stepped up this season. She's better at shooting threes. She's better at passing the ball. She's been more efficient at facilitating their offense in New York. So I think Wilson is going to be the MVP with the New York Liberty winning the title. Now, for the most talked about award this season is going to be who is going to be the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Okay? Everyone is always doing the Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark debate, and I think that debate is very silly because those are two players who play completely different positions on the court. They have completely different roles. They mean different things to their teams. Okay, so let's start with the comparisons, all right? But I do think Caitlin Clark is going to win WNBA Rookie of the Year, even though I feel like Angel Reese has made a great case for her as well. She has the most rebounds in a regular season. She broke the record for most double-doubles in a season. Her motor is insane. If you listen to any of the other bigs in the league, besides them not wanting to face Wilson consistently, they don't want to face Angel either because Angel's motor is insane. Okay, now everyone's saying, yeah, she gets all these offensive rebounds off her missed shots. Is she not supposed to hustle and get her own missed shots? And she's also doing this, if we go back and look at the highlights, she's doing this against 3 to 4 defenders, and she's outworking 3 to 4 people all the time. Her efficiency is going to get better as she moves. She's only a rookie, okay? So she's going to get better, and that's going to be a scary sight, all right? She's not going to win Rookie of the Year this year, but I can see an MVP later on down the line in her future, okay? Caitlin Clark is finally finding her footing in the WNBA. I think that break from with the Olympics when everyone was mad and saying she should have made the Olympic team. No, she needed that break to go in, work in the lab, and get better. And that's what she did, okay? And so I'm excited to see how her and her team are going to finish. This is the first time the Indiana Fever have been over 500 since 2015, 2016. So, and also, Caitlin Clark is doing her thing. But let's not overlook her teammate, Mitchell. She is balling out as well. That is one certified 1-2 punch right now with the way they're meshing and the way that team is going about it. Okay, so shout out to the Indiana Fever. Shout out to Caitlin Clark. And shout out to Angel Reese as well as Aja Wilson. Okay, Asia, my apologies. And I also want to give out one last shout out, okay, before we end this episode. All right, Rekia Jackson, okay? She is so efficient. Okay, I don't necessarily think her coach in LA is using her the way that he should. But watching her play, she is meticulous about the shot she takes. And not only are she meticulous about the shot she takes, she hits the shots. Her efficiency is crazy. I love watching her play. I'm excited to see her develop, and I'm excited to see the Sparks put the correct pieces around her. Okay, she was balling in Tennessee. There's a reason why she was a lottery pick as well. So, shout out to Rekia Jackson. Shout out to the whole WNBA as a whole. All right, I'm loving what I'm seeing. I only need a WNBA to make their games more, put it in the public more, okay? I need to see more games on ABC. I need to see not so many games scheduled at the same time, okay? The WNBA is growing. Let's continue to grow it. Let's uplift all the players, okay? Once again, I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. And I can't wait to see you guys back here next week.